I want to finish up all of that with a caution for the last days. I'm going to give you some cautions tonight for the last days that we're living in. Now, I want you to think about this. You'll hear TV preachers say last days. When the Bible talks about the last days, it means everything since the the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everything after that until His second coming is the last days. Now, we're in the last of the last days. I really believe that. We're in the last. And tonight, we'll go through this scripture pretty quick, but I think it outlines those last days. And I think it gives us some cautions to look for in these last days. So let's read verse 1 through 17 in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, I can't even pronounce the word, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And He gives us a warning. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Now this is Apostle Paul talking about himself. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Boy, this show is going away against all modern day preaching, isn't it? But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, that means God breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Boy, they took that one out, didn't they? For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, that whole chapter is a warning or caution signs of the last days that we live in. There's no way that a born-again, spirit-filled believer in Christ can read that and not say, amen. There's no way you could read that and not say, amen, that's the day I live in. Amen, that's the way people are. Amen, that's the way I've been treated. Amen, that's the things I've gone through. Amen, that's my hope. Amen. All through that book we can say amen. So I'm going to show you a couple of caution signs. First of all, in verse 1, there's going to be perils of the last days. He said in the last days, what? Perilous times. That means perils, dangerous things are going to happen. He said in number 1, perilous times, these perils, men will love their own self. And lovers themselves, you know what they are? They're covetous. It says it right there. Lovers in them own selves, you know what they are? They're boasters. They're proud. They are blasphemers. They're disobedient. They're unthankful. Now, that's the perils of the last days. You're going to... Look, in these last days, perilous times are going to come. As a believer, we're pretty spoiled in America. Now, if you were in Korea, they'd put you in jail tomorrow.
Right.
If you were in China, they'd put you in jail tomorrow.
Yeah.
If you lived in a Muslim country, you'd probably be dead. Amen? And that's world over. And then there's other countries which are not Muslim or communist, but they're reprobates. You go to Switzerland and Norway and all these places in Europe, and the people just can't believe anything anymore. They're reprobate. That means they can't believe. And you can preach to them all day. But they've gotten to the point where they think they're above that. See? Ever learning. Never coming to the knowledge of truth. They think they're smarter than we are. And they think they're smarter than the Bible. So the people of the last days is another caution sign. We know we're living... Look, when I grew up, and a lot of you... America was about 90% Christian, 10% not.
Right.
You older people, wouldn't you say that? Because I was in the 10% that was not. I know that.
Yeah.
My family was in the 10% that was... Brother Bill, you grew up a lot like I did.
Yeah. Right.
And we were the few that didn't go to church. We were the few that lived outright. You know, we didn't care what people thought about us. But even then, most sinners hid their sin. Bars wasn't open every night of the week. They were open on the weekend, and they were dark where you couldn't see the people in them. You remember that? A little light on the table. Didn't nobody want you to know who you was in those places. I'll tell you something else, too. Back when I was growing up, you couldn't speak against the church or against the Bible or against Christianity out in public. You couldn't do it. People would attack, and I'm not talking physically, but they put you in your place. But now it's the other way around. If you say anything about the church or Christianity or the Bible or Jesus Christ, people have put you in their place now, the lost place. So the perilous times are here. The caution sign's already up. Amen? There's no need to look for more signs. These TV preachers selling all these books about this sign and that sign. You don't need any more signs. You're living in it, man. Open your eyes and look. You don't need another sign. You don't need another satellite. They raise money every week for more satellites so we can get the gospel out. The gospel's already circled this earth over and over and over and over and over, generation after generation. There's nowhere on planet earth, I don't believe, that the gospel has not been preached at least once. Nowhere. I think it's been preached everywhere. I heard an astronaut say one time, he said, when you're orbiting the earth in one of those little shells of a thing, I would never put my life in. a little trash can floating around the world up there, you know. And he said at night on the dark side of the earth, you look down, and in the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa and Brazil and South America and places like that, you'll see those little blue dots. He said, because all over the world, they may not have a whole lot, but somehow they'll have a television. Yeah. And they watch American TV. And they think every man over here is Rambo. And they think every woman's a Kardashian. Yeah. Yeah, that's what they think. That's why the Muslims think so little of us. But see, that's the day we live in. We're in those last days, and it's perilous time. No need to look for more signs. You got the signs. And now what you look at is the people to prove you're in the last days. Look at verse 2. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Would you say we're in that time right there? If you don't think we are, you talk to this woman right down here that teaches public school. She'll tell you about it. Yeah. Look at that next verse. Without natural affection. Now, when I first got saved, I heard preachers that really didn't study very well. They said that was sodomite. That was homosexual. That's not what that is. Natural affection. Without natural affection. It didn't say with unnatural. It said without natural. You know what natural is? A love, a mother for a daughter for a mother. A love, a father for his son for the father. That's natural affection. And would you agree with me that if you're looking for signs, the day that we live in, that's greatly missing now? Most homes, they ain't nothing but battlegrounds. That's all our battlegrounds to see who can be the boss. Who's going to be on top? Who's going to have their way? And they're without natural affection. This country is eat up. Did you know? Read the paper. Read the paper of the births every week in York County. Over half of them have two names on each birth. You know why? They don't care enough about each other to get married and give that young the same name. That man probably ain't going to be around long enough to see the young grow up anyway. Amen? Amen. That's without natural affection. Now, I wasn't a Christian growing up, but you know what? When me and my wife started having children, I decided, whether I liked it or not, I was going to work, and I was buying groceries, and I was paying rent or whatever I had to do, but I was going to love my children the best way I knew how, and I didn't know how to love them as God loves them, but I knew how to love them naturally as a father would love his children, and look, I was willing to die for my children, and that's gone now. That's gone. People throw their young'uns away.
Amen.
Just throw them away if they don't abort them first. Without natural affection. Would you agree with me that's a caution of the last days? We're in it. Amen. Would you agree we're in it? Amen. Now, look here what else he said. He said truce breakers and false accusers. You know what that means? Just lie about everything. Just lie on you. And tell you, make you a promise, sign a covenant, and not keep it. Not think a thing about breaking their promises. Not think a thing. Now, when you buy something, you got to sign 25 copies because they figure half the people ain't going to pay for it. They're going to have to take them to court anyway. Amen? First automobile I bought, I was 16 years old. And I made $130 a week. And Curly, can't remember his last name, down in Lancaster, he worked at A-Ranch Gulf Station where I hung out sometime as a teenager. And he said, I got a car, some cars. I'm going to start selling cars covering my house. He had three cars in his yard. He had a 1961 Falcon Futura. Glory to God. White.
Six-cylinder.
Two-door. Rolled and pleated in tears. You know, had all them little red inside, white outside. Had that little old 600. I paid $130 for it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Paid $130 for it. I paid more for insurance than I did for the automobile. My second car, I bought it from my brother-in-law who started selling cars, 1966 Chevelle. I gave $600 for it. My mama borrowed that $600 from a loan company. Taught me not to borrow from loan companies. It took me 3 years to pay back $600. Because every time I couldn't make my payment, mama would take me up there and renew the loan. I didn't know that meant you was redoing it all over and having to start all over. I didn't know that. But I paid it. And now people don't think nothing about it. They'll say, I had a flat tire. Come get this car. I ain't paying for it. Amen. You can't trust them nowadays. You can't trust people. Look, if you're going to sell something, you better get half of it up front. Amen.
It's for
you. Amen. That's what it costs you. Wheeler dealer over here. That's why you go by these car lots and it says $500 down. Well, they didn't give but $500 for the car. They charge you $1,000 for it, and they figure if they get the first $500, they'll break even. Amen. But you can't trust people. You look, lie, cheat, and steal, and then they think that's what they're supposed to do. And don't let it be government money or company money. We live in a generation, an age, these last days, where people are truce breakers, they're false accusers. Hey, here's a good one. Look at verse 4. Traitors. Just traitors. Now, let me tell you something. I never went to the military. When I turned 18, I signed up for the draft. If they had drafted me, they probably would have had to beat me to death. I was such a rebel. They probably would have beat me in the submission, I imagine they would have. Would they, Danny?
Yeah, probably would have.
They probably would have. But I'm such a rebel. But let me tell you something. Right now, I'm 63 years old. And if they said, we need some 63-year-old men, and we're going to draft 63-year-old men, and they drafted me, I'd go.
Amen.
I'd go. Yeah. Just give me a gun and point me at something. Point me at something. I don't know what to do. Just give me a gun. Don't make me do no push-ups. I won't make that, you know. But, hey, we've got a whole generation that's been educated in this country. Government money, been given government money to live on, government food, government everything. And they carry signs in the street and burn stuff up and protest every little thing. Traitors. We have church traitors. Come running in this church and other church. Woo, preacher, this is what I've been looking for. Woo! And 6 months later, they're over at some other church going, woo, I was over yonder, but let me tell you what they did to me. Traitors. Stinking traitors. Amen? They're everywhere. And look, that's a caution sign of the last days. Hurry up, listen faster. Heedy and high-minded. Ain't nobody telling me what to do, bless God. Ain't nobody telling me what to do. I'm my own man. Yeah, fools is what they are. But they got a big head. They're high-minded. They think they're smarter than everybody else. Have you ever noticed this? People will go to work all week long, and they'll get it. And some of them have good educations, and then they'll come to church on Sunday once or twice a week. And while they're there, they know more about running the church and operating the church and building the church and how the church ought to treat people, how the preacher ought to preach, how the songs ought to be sung than anybody else in the church. They've never started a church. They've never pastored a church. Most of them never even personally led anybody to Christ. Most of them never even take people to church. And yet, when they come to church, that's the crowd that when the old preacher gets sick and dies, they can't have another preacher because that crowd steps in and they become the owners of the church. And there's a bunch of that going on. Now, I'm telling you, better watch out. That's the day that we live in. They're heady. They're high-minded. They think they're smarter than everybody else. And then look at this. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God.
Amen.
Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You know why I go to church? I love God.
Amen.
You know why I read the Bible? I love God.
Amen.
You know why I attempt to live a good Christian life? I love God. And look, a lot of folks, they're not lovers of God. They're lovers of themselves. And so therefore, everything about and around them in their life has to be about them. You understand what I'm saying? The kind that says, well, I left my husband because he didn't pay me enough attention. It wasn't about her paying attention, it was about him paying attention. Or they leave their kids because they say, well, my kids got in my way of my career. Y'all see what I'm saying? They're lovers of them own selves. They don't love God. Look, keep going. These are caution signs. Look here. Verse I lost my place. Y'all got me preaching so hard. Verse 5, having a form of godliness. There's some people, if you look at them, you'll say, boy, if there ever was a Christian, there goes one right there, as long as just looks. But when you get to know them, they have that old sharp tongue, they've got a bad attitude, they gossip, they tell tales, they lie, they're not faithful to church or anybody else other than themselves. They look good. Jesus said they were like whited sepulchers, full of dead men's bones. They look real good. Everything that looks good ain't good, Brother Rick. Stand up. Stand up. There's a Christian right there. He left work today and came to church. He don't look good. That's what God means when he says that he looks on the heart, not the outward appearance. He doesn't mean this crowd that dresses like hippies and they look pretty good, but they're not nothing right in there. They're empty and full of dead men's bones. I didn't embarrass you, did I? I'm glad he's a lover because he'd hurt me if he wasn't. Look, they have a form of godliness. They know how to act in church. They know how to get by and look good and sound good and dress good, and they know all the right things to say. I've been saved since 1978, and in church I still don't always know the right things to say, but these people know exactly what to say. I mean, they're the perfect church member. But they deny the power thereof. You get talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. You get talking about being convicted by the Holy Spirit. You get talking about being led by the Holy Spirit. You get talking about getting healed or getting full of the Spirit yourself. And those people look at you like, what in the world are you talking about? My name's on the end of this pew. I look good in this pew. My mama looked good in this pew. My grandpa looked good in this pew. I ain't got a clue what you're talking about. They're not spiritual minded. They're worldly minded. They deny the power of God. Some drunk will come walking in. By the way, go church shopping. I dare you. Go church shopping. You can go through these churches and people will sit there and they'll ignore you.
Yes, Lord.
They'll act like you ain't even there, man. They'll walk right. They won't even make eye contact with you. They'll walk right past you. And they look so good, you know. And they got that perfect pew they sit on with those perfect clothes. And they know how to sing the perfect hymn. And they know how to say that same old prayer they say every time the preacher calls on to pray. And the preacher's got his pretty well written down too. But they don't know anything about the power of God to change human lives, to rescue the perishing, to care for the dying, to snatch them in pity from the grave. Amen. They don't know anything about that. They deny that. Now, it didn't say they wasn't religious. There's a lot of religious people, folks. They have a form of godliness. They're religious. But they don't have the power of God. I'll give you a good example. I worked at Rock Hill Print and Finishing for years and years. And then I got laid off. I went to work at the industrial and worked there for several years. And then I got the opportunity to go back to the Bleachery. I went back to the Bleachery, same old men working in there, you know. And one of them, every year, and that did, after I got saved, he did this. Every year, around the fall of the year, I think it was, he'd come to work with this long string of Sunday school pens. You get a Sunday school pen for perfect attendance, you know, in them churches. And they hook together. And he'd have them 5 feet long, you know. And he'd brag about how he hadn't missed Sunday school. But at break time, he'd be over at the smoking booth telling the dirty jokes and listening to the dirty jokes and talking like everybody else and gambling and everything else. But he went to Sunday school. He looked good. And let me tell you something. When I got saved, that man treated me like I had the plague or something. He wouldn't hardly even talk to me. He never invited me to church before I got saved. He just bragged about how he went to church. But you know what? Some of those guys, after I got saved and they found out I was saved, they came up to me and invited me to their church. And I didn't even know they went to church because they didn't act like it, didn't talk like it. They acted and talked like I did. And now I'm saved. And then I thought about it. Before I was saved, I wasn't good enough to go to their church. And now they think I've got religion. I'm good as they are. I can go to their church. But if I had went to their church, I would have embarrassed them. Because I'd had to say something. I started crying or something, you know. I wouldn't be able to hold it back. But listen, look real quick. He says, denying the power of that from such, turn away. Get away from those people. They claim to know God. There's no evidence of life-changing power of the Holy Ghost in their life. You get away from those people. You say, but preacher, I'm trying to get them over to our side. No, we don't want those. We don't want those that have a form of godliness. We want those that want godliness, not a form. Amen? A lot of people's got that form. And then, here's another caution sign in verse 5. It's a plea. He said, from such, turn away. He begs us to get away from those people.
Well, Pastor, we ain't no better than nobody else.
No, but we're saved by the grace of God, and we need to stay away from some people. There's some people, whether you like it or not, they'll drag you down. Especially religious hypocrites. They'll drag you down. I'm telling you, even I wouldn't want to be around some people. I'm pretty strong in the faith, but some. I'm talking about religious people now, not the drunks or drugs. And you probably met them in your life in church meetings and stuff. They're just, it's just constant bickering and constant complaining and constant doubt and constant trying to be better than everybody else. He says, please, get away from those. And then, here's the program, and I'm going to quit. Here's the program he wants for us. And look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, that's the program for the last days. Like it or not, we've got to have some doctrine. People say, well, I don't preach doctrine. If you preach the Bible, you're preaching doctrine. Amen? And, I got some fellas in my mind right now that's told me over and over, well, we don't preach doctrine in our church. I said, then you ain't preaching the Bible. How can you preach the inerrancy of the Scriptures? That's doctrine. How can you preach the virgin birth? That's doctrine. How can you preach the sinless life of Christ? That's doctrine. How can you preach the bodily resurrection, His suffering in our place, rising from the dead? That's doctrine. How can you preach He's coming back again? That's doctrine. How can you preach on heaven and then preach against hell? That's all doctrine. How can you preach Christian living? That's doctrine. And he said, look, in these last days, we need to get a hold of some Bible doctrines and practice and preach and share Bible doctrines. You don't hear much about it anymore. Turn on the TV preacher. He's telling you how to overcome the blues. He's telling you how to be successful. I'll tell you how to be successful. Learn some Bible doctrine. Amen? And then not only that, look what else he said. He said, my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience. Boy, if we'll just practice that, the Christian manner of life, the Christian purpose, the Christian faith, long-suffering in Christ, charity in Christ, and patience in Christ, those are things we'll have to have in the last days. We got to have it. See, everything ain't going to be positive.
That's right.
Everything's not going to be easy. Everybody's not going to like you.
Thank you, Lord.
Everybody's not going to agree with you. Some people are going to despise you. Some are going to persecute you. And you need to know your doctrine. and you need to learn some patience, and you need to endure some long suffering, and you need to have patience, and you need to wait on the Lord because He's coming back in any minute. That's what He's saying. Yep. All those people out there, they're wicked. Lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Yes, they are. Yes, you're going to be persecuted by that crowd. Yes, you are. But if you're faithful in your doctrine, and then you can do a little long suffering, then you can be patient, then you can wait on the Lord, and then you can endure things. People just won't endure anymore. How you do it, preacher? Here's how you do it, verse 14. But continue thou in things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, listen, that's the program, that's the plan. The prophet will be, if you'll do this, verse 17, here's your prophet, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Perfect doesn't mean sinless. It means mature, grown up, able to stand, able to endure, able to long suffer, having a little patience, knowing some doctrine. Amen? You see, the sad thing is, most people don't even know that they're in the last days. They don't even know. They think everything's okay. They think, boy, if we can get the president straightened out, the Congress and the Senate and House of Representatives, and get the state straightened out, we're gonna be all right. No, it's not gonna get no better. Perilous times. It's going to get worse and worse. It's not going to get better. Who told you it was going to get better? Somebody lied to you if they told you it was going to get better. Some ignorant, unbiblical preacher told you it was going to get better. There in Ephesians, he tells them to put on the whole armor of God. If it was going to get better, why would you need armor? Why would you need a sword? Why would you need a shield? Why would you need a helmet? Why would you need your feet shod? If it's going to get better, you can take all that stuff and throw it away. Amen? If it's going to get better, why did he call the Word of God sharper than a two-edged sword? There's more about war in the Scriptures than there is peace. Now, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's bringing peace back. But he ain't here yet. And right now, we're still in the battle. And if you think it's going to get real easy, somebody lied to you. What you need to do is get a Holy Ghost backbone and say, I shall not be moved like a tree planted by the water. I shall not be moved. Hell or high water, I'm going to stand right here. And when it's all done, I'll still be standing by the grace of God. Old-fashioned Christianity. Amen? Little sissy preacher with little sissy sermons and little sissy songs. Let me tell you something. It takes a woman of God to stand in the world that we're in today.
Amen. That's right.
Say amen right there, ladies.
Amen. Amen.
It takes a woman to stand.
Yes,
it used to be most women were Christian. It was easy. It's getting less and less every day, harder and harder every day. Let me tell you something. It's going to take a woman to stand up, a woman of God. It's going to take a man of God to stand up in the world that we live in and not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You have to have a Holy Ghost backbone to help you stand up and say, listen, y'all going to hell if you want to. You're going to hell and live like you're going to hell and act like you're going to hell and talk like you're going to hell. But I'm not moving. I'm going to stay right here. If you like me, that's fine. If you don't like me, that's fine. I'm not going to change for you or the world or the flesh or the devil. I'm going to stand right here. And when all of you are destroyed and torn down by the grace of God, I'll still be standing right here. Last days, perilous times, because we're not lovers of ourselves. We're lovers of the ones that created us. Amen. He's in us. He's on us. He's around us. We're covered in Him. We're immersed in Him. Every once in a while, you need to get off base and say, God, and I'm Baptist. I'm Baptist. But every once in a while, I get off by myself and I say, God, I need a fresh anointing. I need a fresh baptism. I need to be just submersed in the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. And then when you go to places, people will say, you're a Christian, ain't you? You had your uniform on. You were marked. They knew it when you walked in the room. They could tell it by your countenance that God was on you. Amen? That's what we need to do the day that we're in. This Sunday, there's people that say they're saved. They're living these last days. So much entertainment, so much. They haven't even made up their mind yet if they're going to be at church Sunday.
That's right. Yep.
They don't decide that till Saturday.
Yep.
And if the old man don't have nothing else he wants them to do, they might come dragging in. And then there's some, they'll be here Sunday morning, but they won't be back Sunday night because the flesh won't let them come back, and they've submitted themselves to the flesh, not the spirit. Y'all still with me? You ain't mad at me, are you? Don't you? Look, we're in the last days. If Jesus is coming, I want him to find me standing. Not compromising, not backing up, not apologizing, but standing. Don't you? So let's do it. Let's stand. This week, let's stand. While the whole world's going to hell in a handbasket, let's just stand. While the rest of them drinking themselves into oblivion, let's stand. While they're doping themselves into oblivion, let's stand. While they're shooting and killing each other, let's just stand. While they're teaching false doctrine, soaking up false doctrine, let's just stand on the truth. Amen? And then they say, what's different about you? And you say, I've been saved by the grace of God, and you can't fool me.
Amen?
Let's stand. Father, help us tonight.